A man who had regularly prayed for many years began to wonder if God really heard his prayers. So during one of his routine times of prayer, he started this doubting pattern once again. He stopped in praying and he thought for a moment, enough of this. He then lifted his eyes toward heaven and yelled, "Hey up there, can you hear me?" There was no response. He continued, "Hey God, if you really hear me, tell me what you want me to do with my life." A voice thundered in reply. "I want you to help the needy and give your life for the cause of peace." Faced with more of a challenge than he really wanted, he answered, "Well, actually, God, I was just checking to see if you were really there." The voice above replied, "That's all right. I was only checking to see if you were there." We're talking about prayer as conversation with God. If prayer is not conversation with God, if when we are saying our prayers, we are not in conversation with God, if we're just saying them out of routine, it's not conversation. It's just saying words. So let's talk about, we're going to start into the Lord's Prayer today. We kind of gave some foundation last week. Let me give you some reminders. The first bullet point there says, conversation with God is about knowing and enjoying God. Conversation with God, prayer, we call a conversation with God prayer, communication with God prayer, is about knowing God. And so as we pray, part of our prayer is reading the Bible, learning what he has to say through the Bible and through the Holy Spirit, and us talking to him. So we get to know him in relationship in a personal way, and about just enjoying being with him. We talked about just being with people, how meaningful it is just to be with people. And so there's a statement there, God made us for relationship with himself, thus he made us to pray. God made us for relationship with other people, thus he made us to talk with other people, to converse with other people, to listen to other people. So the objective is not words, the objective is conversation, knowing God and enjoying God. Conversation with God is a primary activity for every Christian. Conversation with God is a primary activity for every Christian. Ephesians 6:18 says, and this is to all Christians, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Praying at all times in connection with the Spirit, in tune with the Holy Spirit within us, in the Spirit, with all kinds of prayer, all kinds of supplication, which is asking. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. As we look at the Gospels, we see that Jesus was praying at every point in his ministry and his life, especially the turning points, the crisis points in his life. And so when he was baptized, he was praying, and the Father even responded. And at the time of choosing his disciples, he spent a whole night in prayer, asking the Father to help him identify who he wanted to be his disciples. The disciples would find him alone praying sometimes for a period of time, sometimes all night. He prayed when others were around, and they would listen to him and be a part of that. He prayed for Peter before Jesus went to the cross. He told him, he said, "You're going to betray me, but I'm praying for you so that you come back." He prayed in the garden before he went to the cross. Deep, heartfelt prayer. And even as he hung on the cross, he was in conversation with the Father. If Jesus, being 100% divine, 100% man, needed to have that kind of prayer, that kind of constant prayer, how much more do we? Because you're not Jesus, you know that? Just turn the person beside you and say, you aren't even close. You're not Jesus, you're not God, you need to pray. So over and over and over and over, we see times of emphasis when we're supposed to be not just speaking prayer, but living lives of prayer. Yesterday, a number of us went to the 360 Leadership Conference in Punxsutawney, and it was a good time. We learned a lot, had a lot of fun, and as we're driving back, we decided we're going to stop and get something to eat. We're talking, where should we go to eat? Where should we go to eat? And Russ said, let's go to Red Robin. He was insistent that we go to Red Robin. I mean, he was just Russ, yeah. No, he wasn't really. It was by consensus. So we stopped at Red Robin, put it in there, stopped at Red Robin by Pittsburgh Mills. And we walked in, got a table, and the server, Rebecca, stopped by. And immediately there was a connection. She's just this bubbly personality, talking to us, teasing us, and looked at us, goes, where are you guys coming from? She said, I think it's because she knew we couldn't be family, because we didn't look that much alike. Said, where are you guys coming from? So we got to talking with her and got to know her a little bit. So she went, got our drink, she came back, we started talking with her a little bit more. She told us that she had moved from South Carolina to Pittsburgh 17 years ago. She met her husband. Her husband was a police officer. And so just talking a little bit about that and found out that she was Catholic. Somehow we got that. We ordered our food. She brought our food back. And one of the things that I've started to practice that I'm going to talk more about as we go through this year is as a server brings the food, I'll often ask, and I try to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I sense I should, sometimes I don't. But I ask her, we're about to pray for our meal. Is there anything that we can pray for you about? A lot of times I get this look of shock, first of all. You want to know what? And I'll get, no, I'm good. Or they'll say, somebody in my family's sick. They'll say that. Every once in a while, something more meaningful. But she stopped, and she said, wow, that would be incredible. She said, pray for the finances of our family because we're having trouble, and then pray that my husband and I don't get divorced because that's where we're headed. That, I was expecting less than that because people don't usually share at that level. And so we said we would. And before she left, she said, you know, you guys just by asking that made my day. And so she left and we prayed for her. And then she came back, and every time she came back, she just had this smile on her face. She goes, you don't know how much that means that you would pray. So we started talking. We were at Pittsburgh Mills, which is close to New Kensington, Lower Borough, that area. And so we started talking. Wonder if she has a church home. Well, the river, pastored by Dean Ward, some of you know Dean Ward, he was part of helping us get the church started early and planted a church some 15, 18 years ago down there. And we thought, well, that would be a great church for her. It's alive, it's vibrant, it's very similar to what we are. And so next time she came by, I asked her, I said, you have a church home? She says, oh, you know, we're Catholic. Well, that started a whole other conversation about nuns beating your knuckles and, you know, and all that. But then she said, but I've been taking my kids to a church down here called The River. At that point, do you think it was an accident that we were in that restaurant having that server? Not at all. And so we talked to her, said, that's a great church. And she said, well, you know, I haven't been there for a while. I need to get back. I said, yeah, we will continue to pray for you. And I've been praying for her ever since. Then we made sure, you know, if you pray for someone and tell them you're a Christian, you got to leave a big tip. Otherwise, you just blew your chance. And so we left her a big tip, and we walked out of the restaurant saying hi. Now, it's because we are walking in an attitude of prayer, of connection, of conversation. We'd prayed several times during the day. God, this is your day. At 6 o'clock in the morning when we met here, we prayed, God, this is your day. You do with it what you want. And as we went through the day, it wasn't an accident. Living a life of prayer puts you in the place where you need to be. What would have happened if we had not been paying attention and not ended up, if Russ hadn't insisted that we go to Red Robin? You know, God can even speak to Russ. Can you believe that? And then what would have happened if we would have just had that good time, but we didn't ask her? Because that was the Spirit, that was the Holy Spirit just nudging, saying, what would have happened? She would have not been encouraged. We would have not had the joy, the incredible joy. I mean, I looked around the table and everybody on their face, it was just, wow, this is great. We would have not had that joy. But even worse than that, we would have disappointed God. You see, it's about this relationship. It's about knowing God and enjoying Him. And there's nothing more enjoyable than hearing His voice, being directed to do what He wants you to do, and then doing it. Such a simple thing. Conversation with God is a primary activity of every Christian. So we're not just talking about when we, you know, have our quiet time. We're talking about as we go through our day. It is to be our primary focus, and then to respond when we do, when we hear His voice, when He's nudging. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, constant. So let's stop and let's pray for Rebecca. God, we know that You have a love for Rebecca and her family that is beyond anything we could ever experience. And so right now, God, would You reach into her heart and her life, wherever she is, wherever her children are, wherever her husband is. And God, would You begin to heal that marriage? Would You do whatever it takes to arrange the circumstances and open up their hearts to move towards each other? Would You open up the opportunity for them to get involved in the river and make some connections and provide the finances? God, thank You for the opportunity to be Your hands and feet. Now, we just pray that You would do extraordinary things in Rebecca's life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't think we'll ever know anything else. Do you? I mean, what are the chances? What are the chances? But what a privilege, because walking in tune with Him, praying without ceasing. Now we want to move to the Lord's Prayer. So the next bullet point is the Lord's Prayer is a template for Christians. The Lord's Prayer is a template for Christians. The Lord's Prayer was given by Jesus to His disciples. It really should not be called the Lord's Prayer. It should be called the disciples' prayer. It was the prayer that the Lord gave to the disciples as a template. As when one of His disciples, all of the disciples were watching Him pray, and they said, teach us to pray like that. My hunch is that they had learned prayers in synagogue. I can't believe that they didn't. But as children. But part of the problem is sometimes we don't move past the kinds of prayers we pray when we're children. And we never grow up to have adult conversations with God. I don't know the prayers that you learned when you were a kid, but a couple of them went like this for me. God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food, by His hands we are fed, give us, Lord, our daily bread. Anybody else know that one? Before we eat, we pray that. If we had said, Rebecca, is there anything we can pray about? She told us, and then we, around the table, we said, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food. That would have been silly, wouldn't it? But that's kind of what happens when we don't get past those childish prayers. Another one is at night. Now I lay me down to sleep. Anybody pray that one? Now I lay me down to sleep. Pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake. Just think of all the traumatized children in this world. So we changed it with our kids. I forget what. Now lay me down to sleep. Yeah, that's, yeah, there you go. That's it. That was it. So the tragedy is the religious leaders had never moved past the childish prayers. The childish prayers are the ones that you say by rote, the ones that you just say without thinking. And it gives you a purpose. So, you know, when children are 2, 3 years old, you want to pause and you teach them that prayer because it sets the tone and it makes them see how important it is that we thank God for our food, we pray before we go to bed. But we have to move past that if we're going to have real conversation. What Jesus was telling them to do was not to have childish prayers, but to have childlike prayers. to become his children, so they're communicating as that. A childish model is to repeat the same words over and over again. Now, we don't have any of that going on in our day, do we? We talked about it last week. How many prayers are just things that are repeated by people, and they're not really talking with God? So in response to the disciples' request for Jesus to teach them how to pray, he gave them the disciples' prayer, which we call the Lord's Prayer. Read this aloud with me in Matthew chapter 6, 9 to 13. Pray then like this. Say it with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I intentionally put it in there in the ESV because we usually say it in the King James to make you stop and think a little bit what it says. Now, every word in the Lord's Prayer is important. Jesus was not into ritual. He was into being real. And so what he was doing was giving them a template, a model to use and then to personalize it. The takeaway today, what I want you to walk away with today is, and you can write this down, when we leave today, your assignment is going to be take 1 minute daily this week to thank God for one of his attributes, one of his characteristics, one thing that he is. So that's going to be the assignment for this week, and we'll come back to that. So how does the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer start? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Our relationship and thus our conversation with God, prayer, starts and ends with God. The beginning of the prayer is about God. The end of the prayer is about God because it's about talking with God. Who we believe a person to be determines the kind of conversation we will have. And so Jesus addresses God very specifically, very intentionally. So we want to talk about effective conversation that starts with a focus on him. Number one, it starts with our, O-U-R, O-U-R, our. Jesus could have said, my, but he didn't. He said, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Because it's much more about us praying than it is me praying. It's much more about a community activity than it is an individual activity. The reason we view, I talked about this last week, how almost every time in the New Testament you see the word Y-O-U, you, it's plural. But when we read it, our automatic thought is singular. We think he's giving us an individual, but he's actually saying, when you pray, pray this way, our Father, because I want you praying together. It's easier to keep conversation private, isn't it? It's easier to pray alone. There's no risk. If you pray something that there's no accountability, because if you pray something out loud with somebody else, they might ask you about it. It's easier to do it by yourself because there's no embarrassment. But but if we're not praying as God wants us to pray, we're not going to hear God as he wants to speak to us. It's also spiritual warfare. The devil knows if he can isolate an individual, then he can defeat us. Divide and conquer. Matthew chapter 18, verses 19 to 20. Again, Jesus says, again, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. There is more power in two people praying than one person praying. There is extremely more power because Jesus, in some extraordinary, mysterious, spiritual way, says, I'm going to be among you when there are two of you or three of you or more praying than I am when you're alone. Because he created us for community. He created us to be together. And so we need to build in our lives times when we're praying together with other people. We need to build in our lives moments when we are praying together. That's what the prayer gathering is about once a month. And in the next months, we're going to give you other opportunities. We need to build those so that we are intentionally doing that together. But we also need to pray together as we go through our days. This is an assignment. This is just a dictate, an order. This is an order. If you're talking to somebody and they're expressing a problem or a difficulty, stop and pray. Now, is that hard? Is that complicated? No, just stop and pray. Why? Because there's more power when you're praying together than if you go home and pray for that person alone. And it creates community. So that's what I want to see more and more around here. I would love it if I walked in Sunday morning from digging deeper and I looked over here and there's two people praying here and there's two people and there's somebody hijacked my office and they're praying in there. Because there's more power there. There's more power. So he starts with our. I don't know if I heard this somewhere, if I just had a moment of inspiration. But that quote that's in your outline, a trouble carried alone is doubled. If you just hold it in, if you just try to carry something by yourself, it just gets bigger and bigger and it just overwhelms you. But change that word burden. I meant to have trouble there. But a trouble shared with others is halved. See, when we share it with somebody else, it gets lighter. That's why Jesus in the New Testament says, carry one another's burdens. Why? Because it's halved. Now, that's trouble. That's a difficulty, and we generally think about this. But on the flip side, a joy experienced alone is halved. Something good happens to you, and you enjoy it, and you celebrate it. It's wonderful. It's halved. But if you share it with someone else, or someone shares a joy with you, and you rejoice with them, it's doubled. It gets bigger, and it gets better. So he starts with our. Prayer is primarily a community activity, and we need to get to the habits. And the other thing is, if something comes up and you need to pray about something, it's legal to pray over the phone. Did you know that? Unless you're driving, maybe, and you close your eyes while you're praying. It's okay. It works. In fact, it works. Sometimes I'll get a community email from friends or a text, and they're asking us to pray. And sometimes I'll reply with a prayer that I type. Did you know that works too? Because it's communication with God and communication with one another. Our effective communication, conversation with God starts with a focus on Him together. Number two, Father. He says, our Father. Every word in this prayer was intentional by Jesus with meaning. So he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In this model, Jesus began with an intimate address of Father. It was the way Jesus prayed throughout his life and his ministry. This was probably the most shocking part of this whole prayer. Because to address God as Father was something that you did not do. In the Jewish faith, they were so afraid of disrespecting God, they wouldn't even say his name, Yahweh. Am I right? They wouldn't even spell it. They left letters out. If they would say God, they would go G blank D because they were so afraid of disrespecting the name. And so instead of calling him God, they'd call Adonai or Lord. And so for Jesus to say, start the prayer like this, our Father, it would send ripples through the whole Jewish faith, and especially the Pharisees, because it's a name of familiarity. It's a name of relationship. And so Jesus is telling his disciples to get into the same trouble that he was in with the Pharisees, because that was one of the reasons they were after him. He was trying to put himself on the same plane as God and make himself the Son of God. Mark chapter 14, verse 36. And he said, Abba, Father. Abba being a very familiar name, a name of both familiarity and respect, a name that was used by little kids and adults when they addressed their adult father. Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but what you will. And so Jesus says, that's the kind of word, Abba, Father. And then Paul says, you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption as sons, in whom we cry, Abba, Father. And so if a little child wanted to see his dad, it was Abba. If a young man who had married and already had his kids and he came to see his dad and their relationship was good, it would be Abba. God does not want us to address him as someone distant. He says, no, he's your father. He's your dad. Write this down. Who we're talking with determines our conversation. Who we're talking with determines our conversation. Who, and so when he says our Father, our Abba, he's saying, I want you to be thinking of God as your Father, as someone who loves you, who cares about you, who is there for you, who is close to you. And I want you to think of him that way. Who we are talking to determines our conversation. Write this down. Who we think we're talking to determines our conversation. So it's not, we may not even know the person we're talking. For instance, have you ever had computer trouble? Anybody ever had computer trouble? Have you ever had to call tech support? If I call tech support and I'm talking to someone and I believe this person knows what they're talking about, they're an expert in their field, they're friendly, they're nice, and they're going to walk me through this, I'm going to talk to them with respect and trust, right? But most of the time, when you call tech support, you get somebody that you think can't even talk English. And there's some entry-level tech that is just trying to make their way because they're telling me to do things I knew how to do in high school. Who I'm talking to determines, who I think I'm talking to determines how I talk and how I value that person. My son Chad, when he was in middle school, said, Dad, I can tell who you're talking on the phone according to the way you talk. I said, what are you talking about? I talk to all you kids the same. He said, no, you don't. I said, yes, I do. I love you all the same. I talk to you all the same. He says, no, you don't. He says, if Andrew calls, you talk louder and you're kind of more, it's more kind of gruff and manly. But if Amber calls, you talk kind of quiet and more tentative because you don't want to hurt her feelings. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. No? He said, that's exactly right. And if Mom calls, everything's up for grabs. See, who we think we're talking to determines the conversation. So who you believe God to be is going to determine the kind of conversation you have with him. So if it's important that we know who God is and we believe that he is our loving heavenly dad, and at the same time, Almighty God. If we believe him to be distant from us, if we believe him to be just waiting for us to make a mistake so he can slap us on the hand, we're not going to have that close relationship. We're going to have our defenses up. If we believe that God is just, nice guy, he's my co-pilot, he's kind of level with me, I'm not going to have the respect for him. So it's important that I have an understanding that it's our Father, our Heavenly Father. Someone has said, drab thoughts about God will make prayer dull. Great awareness of a great God will result in great prayers. So we have to talk, so write this down underneath the thing that you just wrote. We must talk with God in childlike trust. We must talk with God in childlike trust. And so when we start this model prayer, our Father, it has to be in this childlike trust that God loves me, he cares about me, that he really does work all things together for my good, that he's not looking out to hurt me or condemn me. He is there. He's got my best interests in mind, but he's God. We have to start with that childlike trust. Because when a child comes in this world, they trust God. parents for everything, right? And as a baby, they don't even know they're trusting. But then as they get a little older and they're crawling around and something happens, they look, they trust. They, when they're hungry, they come to the parent because they trust. As they get a little bit older and they're toddlers, they trust that you're going to take care of them, that as you're carrying them, you're not going to drop them. They trust that. But as they get older, they discover that they can have some independence and begin to do things on their own. And by the time they get to be teenagers, you're so frustrated with them that you can't wait for them to leave the house because they're becoming individuals and that separation. Now, here's the rub. Spiritually, we have to make the journey back. Because when we are sinful, we are independent, we are doing our own thing, and as children of God, we have to begin that trek back to the place of childlike trust that God knows what he's doing, that God is God, and God is good, and he loves me. He is my heavenly dad. The better we know God, the more we put a face on who God really is, the deeper our relationship will go as we learn to pray. Number three, in heaven, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In heaven, so this, when he says our Father, that's a word of familiarity. It's a name of familiarity, and we have to be careful because if we get too familiar, then we won't respect. We probably all seen children who were not disciplined, and they talk back to their parents, they have no respect, they don't obey, they're just... That's the way we will be with God if we don't include this in heaven. Because Father says God is a loving heavenly dad. Heaven says he's beyond us. He is almighty. He is holy. He is pure. He exists on a different plane from us. And so in heaven is not so much a place as it is a plane. And so he exists higher than us. He exists beyond us. And otherworldliness. And so we address them as dearly loved children, but we also address them as Almighty God. There has to be intimacy, but there also has to be awe and respect and reverence. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 and 22 says that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, above every name that is named. He's saying Jesus is on a different plane. God is on a different plane. He is high and he is holy. He is beyond us and he deserves all reverence and all respect. He is above all things. And we have to give him that respect. Now, here's an assignment for next week. I want you to think this week about the phrase that is most common that is disrespectful of God that often Christians use. I want you to bring that back to class, and then you can hand in your papers, and we'll grade them. Now, we're going to stop there, and we'll talk about hallowed be your name next week. Our together, praying together, is more important than praying alone. Father, close relationship with respect, who is in heaven, on a different plane than this. You see, who we believe God to be will determine how I pray and the relationship that I have and what I receive. It's a part of that abiding in him. If we abide in him, that's what we're talking about. Now, what do we do with this? I want you this week in your quiet time to take 1 minute daily to thank God for one of his qualities, a different quality every day, as a way of just thinking about who God is. And so I put a partial list of God's attributes or God's qualities there for you to go through. You can use these or some other. So in your quiet time, as you're praying, God, I thank you for, and then you pick one. I thank you for your love, and then tell him about the love. Don't just say, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your love because in your love, you saved me and you've taken care of me. You've provided for me. You love me like your own child. Another is transcendent. Means he's beyond us. He's on another plane. God, I thank you that you are beyond us, that you're transcendent. that you're not like us and that you're not weighed down like we are, but we can depend that you've got ability to see the whole of history. Imminent means close to us. It's that God with us that we talk about at Christmas time. Eternal, no beginning, no end. That he's good, excellent in character, and everything that he does is good. Gracious, that his grace, his undeserved favor is always with us. Holy, incomprehensible. And then I can give you a theology lesson. You know, if anybody, you ever want to talk about God and make people really think that you're smart. God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Whoa, what does that mean? Well, omni means all, right? He's all-powerful, he's all-present, he's all-knowing. He's sovereign, ultimate control, he's truth, he's unchanging. Who we believe God to be, not who he is, who we believe God to be will determine how we relate to him and the power of our prayer, the power of our relationship with him, and ultimately the quality of our life. Our Father, who art in heaven. Would you bow your heads? As we talked about who we believe God to be, is there a wrong idea that came to your mind? A way that you think about God that you realize has really hindered you from having the deeper relationship? Could be that you treat him too familiar or too distant. Would you say to God, Lord, I choose to change that. I lay that down and I choose to think of you as you really are. And then name that. Lord, you aren't distant, you're close. You aren't just like me. You're beyond me. Is there something that came to mind that you appreciate about God as we talked about him? Something that he's done or something that he is that makes you serve him, that makes you stay in a relationship with him? Would you thank him for that? Lord, I pray that as we go through this series of messages, you will make our conversation with you come alive as it never has before. Help us to gain insights that you want us to have, applications that you want us to have. Help us to challenge one another and help us to know you better and enjoy you better as we go forward as a church family. We love you. We honor you, our Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen.